without thinking of Brother Paul Kirkman and Her Majesty, Sister Louise, as he used to call her, Her Majesty, and singing that song. And I loved to hear them sing that song, Come and Dine. And then there was another one, He's the One, they used to sing there. About every time they would come to Waseon, they would sing one or both of those songs at the church there, and was a blessing. Continue to be in prayer for these that are on our prayer list. Be in prayer for lost souls. There are those in our service, every service, who need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be praying for, well, first of all, as we saw this morning, family members. And we need to hold up the banner, the standard, for our family members. And then to those outside of the family. Yea, even to the whole city of Melbourne, Palm Bay, Brevard County, Florida, and the uttermost parts of the world. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. In chapter 3, I don't know about you, but it seems like a long time since we looked at this third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we only missed 1 week, and that because of the Lord's Supper. But it just seems like it's been a month or more since we've been in the third chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 6. Well, 6, it's got a colon there. We ought to read to a period at least. Let's read verses 1 through 7. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, for this cause, referring back to the second chapter and particularly those verses in the second chapter, the first chapter, and particularly those verses, those last few verses, 19 through 22 of the second chapter. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Last week, we, considering this, and I think we got through the second verse, we considered the fact that Paul said that he was a prisoner. And he was. He was in bonds at the writing of this letter. Not just did he refer to his bonds, his being a prisoner in this letter, but he referred to it in many other letters as well that he had wrote under an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he said that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That is, for the cause of Jesus Christ. Because he preached Jesus Christ, and particularly that which he had just expounded to the Ephesians, which primarily the gospel of Jesus Christ, which in this third chapter he calls a mystery. The gospel was a mystery, but there was more to that mystery than just the gospel. And we're going to get to that as well. But we also looked at the thought that he presented when he said, "If ye have heard," properly rendering, "inasmuch as ye have heard." Not a question that he was asking them, but a statement that he's making. "Inasmuch as you've heard." And heard of what? The dispensation of the grace of God. The age of the grace of God? No, not the age, for generally that is the general usage of the word translated dispensation. But this is a different Greek word. And it means to, as in the management of a household. So Paul says that he was given the responsibility of overseeing the grace of God. The grace of God to the Gentiles, primarily. We looked at that last week. We looked at the fact that he felt the responsibility and he believed it wholly, 100% of God, that the gospel went first and foremost to the Jew. But his primary ministry, calling of God, was to go to the Gentiles. So, as his practice was, as you've been in the Sunday school class through the book of Acts, you've seen especially Paul's ministry and his missionary trips, his custom was to go first into the synagogue of that city and preach Jesus Christ to the Jews. And then he would go to the Gentiles as well. Ready for verses 3 and 4, which is the point that we've called the mystery made known by revelation. Let's read verses 3 and 4 again. He said, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." He says that this revelation came to him by he. Who's he referring to? He is referring to Jesus Christ, of course. The one that he was serving, the one that he was a prisoner for. He was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And it was Jesus Christ who revealed to him this mystery. Mystery. The mystery. Ha, that's mysterious, isn't it? You like a good mystery? Something that's mysterious? I do. That's what I thrive on. The mystery. Now some folks today not so big into the mystery scene. What do we mean when we say mystery? Well, it means that which is hidden. It's not obvious. It would be a secret. Even something that may be beyond human understanding. And as we think of this mystery that Paul was speaking of, it was certainly beyond human understanding. The mystery would have remained unknown had it not been revealed. And had it not been revealed by the Lord. You think of the mystery of the gospel. Can I make it known to you? I can publish it. But that's all I can do. Apart from the Lord working, it will remain a mystery to you. That's why for all my life until almost 23 years of age, the gospel was preached to me and preached to me and preached to me and preached to me. And it remained a mystery. It was published over and over again. Even taught the how and how it all come about. And I could have told you all that, but not really have an understanding of it. Because it is not given to human understanding. Many a man think they understand the gospel, but they have not experienced the gospel. They've not experienced the power of God in revealing the gospel to them. So the mystery would have remained unknown had it not been revealed by the Lord. Not in a notional way or imaginary way. Not by, as the Old Testament saints did, as did many of the apostles and prophets of the early church, not by a vision, but by experience. That is, you experience the power of God to change. As he says in his word, takes that old stony heart, takes the hammer and the chisel to it with the word of God. The word of God is not my word like a hammer. And he breaks it up and removes it, and he gives a new heart. And Paul says, in parentheses, that he wrote about before. Well, what is he referring to that he wrote about before? In this epistle. In this letter that he was not quite halfway through writing yet. Everything that we look at in chapter 1, chapter 2, referring to that which he written to them in the preceding, I would say in the verses preceding, or in the chapters and verses preceding. But he says, before. In other words, before. Before here. Before what I'm saying right now. What I've penned to you and you've read and you've gotten to this point. Note that this mystery had to be revealed by God. It had to be revealed by the Lord. It cannot be made known by human knowledge. I mean, you think about it. It's amazing. It is so simple that my 8-year-old granddaughter could understand it. But it's so difficult, it's so complicated that a 90-year-old man can't understand it. A 60-year-old man. Men who have been to institutions of higher learning. Men who have spent years giving their lives to learning and to attaining knowledge. And they cannot understand the gospel. Oh, a great mystery. It is. Because it's not given to human understanding. It takes the power of God. It takes God. It takes the Lord to reveal it. Turn with me back to the book of Galatians in chapter 1. Paul here in this first chapter again is talking about the gospel. And look what he says in verse 11 and 12. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." That is, it's not common to man. It didn't come from man. Man didn't conceive it. Man doesn't know it. "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He said, I didn't receive it by man. Whilst the skeptic might say, and the mocker might say, "Well, wasn't he there when Stephen preached? And surely all those others that he had letters from the high priest to go to Damascus and to take them and bind them
Surely he heard them preach. But see, the revelation didn't come by them. They only published the word, which infuriated the mob at Stephen's stoning. How much did it infuriate? Why, those people, they would be blackballed from the United States of America today, wouldn't they? I don't know about that. They ran upon him, they fell on him, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, you and I can't do that. And shouldn't. That's not showing forth the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart. But if we did, to a vile, wicked sinner, we would be locked up in prison and the keys thrown away. We'd probably be committed to some kind of insane asylum. But you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of it, and those same vile, wicked sinners can fall upon you. And they go scot-free. I didn't think I'd ever see it in my lifetime. But I'm telling you, folks, it's at the door. Man is the same. He just, for a lot of years, been restrained by the working power of God, the Holy Spirit, restraining. But we see him withdrawing those restraints more and more. And not only that, for the sake of time, jumping down to verse 15, he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." I mean, he didn't waste any time. And what did he do? He said, "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into the Arabian desert." That's what Arabia is. It's nothing but desert land. We've seen pictures of it on TV. "And returned again unto Damascus." He went. What did he go into the Arabian desert for? To receive the revelation of the mystery that he's talking about here in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. We'll probably come back to this passage again, but it was not revealed by man. The gospel was not revealed to Paul by man. Yes, man published it, but it was God. It was the Lord that revealed it to him. It was the Lord that revealed it to me. There were many men who published the gospel to me in my lifetime. But when it was finally revealed to me, it was the Lord that revealed it. And if you're here and saved tonight, it's the same thing with you. It was the Lord that revealed it. The Spirit of God must be our leader, our instructor. We read Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. We're led by the Spirit of God. That is, we're quickened, and He didn't just quicken us and leave us alone, but He quickens us and He continues to lead and guide and direct our steps, giving evidence that we are the children of God. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 16, and again, I don't have anything new. I mean, you know, the saying. If it's new, it's not true, and if it's true, it's not new. It's been in this book all along. It may be new to me because I just had it revealed to me. It may be new to you because you just had it revealed to you. But it's the Holy Spirit that does the revealing. Verse 13, howbeit when He, that Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Listen, if we're going to have any truth at all, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to teach us the truth. All that He teaches us will be truth. Not that He will teach us all truth, not that He'll teach us everything in here. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Wow. Well, a lot of men with much learning have gotten a head so big they can't even reach it to scratch it. First Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. And look at verse 9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. In other words, your eyes and your ears have not seen and heard the things of God apart from the working of God. If you see anything from this book, if you hear anything that is preached from this pulpit and understand it, it's God that gave it to you. It's God that taught it to you. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit feeds us with milk in the beginning. But Paul said that some, because they had been saved a long time and had been bottle-fed for a long time, were now where they should have been ready to move on to the deeper things, the meat, the steak, and the roast beef, the ham, the chicken. Boy, that's right down my alley. Let's dismiss and go eat. Now, that'll wait till I'm done here. I'm eating more important food right now. It's the Spirit that'll teach us those deeper things as we apply ourselves to the Word of God. And let me tell you, it takes application of ourselves to the Word of God to dig those things out, for the Spirit to give us those deep things. You see? Grace and works. Man's responsibility. Grace and man's responsibility. You see. You have to have a right understanding of both of them. Paul says in verse 4, they had it revealed to him that others may know and understand. You know what he said in verse 4? He said, whereby, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Notice two words. Understand. That is to perceive. To think on. The other word is knowledge. It is a running together, a flowing together. 6 times it is translated understanding. And only once, right here, is it translated knowledge. It is a running together, a flowing together, that they might perceive, that they might be able to think upon, and it might flow together, it might run together. So Paul had the mystery revealed to him. What he's saying is, he had the mystery revealed to him that he might preach it, write it, and as we hear and read it, the Holy Spirit is pleased to give the understanding thereof to whomsoever He will. And we will understand the reading thereof. Turn with me to the book of Psalms and 119. Psalms 119 and verse 104, he said, through thy precepts I get understanding. And what is the benefit of getting understanding through the Word of God? Of reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit giving you understanding of what you've read, what is the benefit of it? Thereby I hate every false way. That's the benefit. We hate sin. We hate evil. We hate wickedness. The psalmist says. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. In verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Where does it come from? comes from the Lord. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He gives wisdom, and with the giving of wisdom, He also, from His mouth, gives us knowledge and understanding. So, yes, I put forth as a faithful servant, as a faithful Christian, I put forth the due time and study and reading and thinking on God's Word. But it is He that gives wisdom and knowledge and understanding of that. And just think about it. That takes persistence on our part. Because I can tell you from experience, of course, I'm slower than most people. I mean, not that I'm stupid. Of course, some of you might disagree with that. Not that I'm stupid. It's just that my mind is so analytical and so working things over. It works slower than most people's mind. I'm amazed at people that's like Brother Bowen. Even in all his pain and suffering, he just much quicker processing things and thinking things than I am. And I've always been, but I've had to scale back and say, I am who I am. I was amazed at my dad. I mean, he could lay down on a bed and look like he was sleeping, and I'd say, Dad, what are you doing? And he'd say, oh, I'm thinking about the message, the passage of Scripture. What was he doing? He was just thinking, and he was pulling here and pulling here and pulling here and pulling here and bringing it all together. And okay. I've admired that kind of individual. I'm not that kind of individual. I've got to get in the study, and I got to sit down the book, and I got to get my mind into it first, and then I got to start to think upon it, and then I begin to think upon it, and I can begin to do some cross referencing and pulling, and you know what? It takes persistence. I've told you about I don't know how many times, and I don't. I just tell you this in way of example. I'm not trying to brag on myself or anything, but I've read all through the Scriptures many, many times. I don't know, 10, 11 times. I don't know. And not that I haven't gotten things in the past, but there are many things that are just now as I read that are beginning to click and come to light. And I say, wow. What am I saying? It takes persistence. And the Lord will reward it. He'll give that wisdom. He'll give that knowledge and that understanding into the deeper things. Second Timothy. Did we read all that verse? Yep, we did. Yep. Second Timothy. Chapter 2. In verse 7, the apostle says to Timothy, the young preacher, he says, consider what's that word consider mean? Perceive with the mind. Understand. Understand with the mind. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. First of all, Paul says, you got to hear what the preacher says. And you got to understand what the preacher says. You got to understand with the mind what the preacher says. But it's the Lord that will give you the understanding then. Listen, that's why Paul said this in the book of 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now get this. Who was Paul? Well, he was Saul of Tarsus. Who was Saul of Tarsus? A couple times he gives his credentials. He was a very learned man. We would say he was one of those fellows that had been to the school of higher education. He had much learning. He could have talked circles around me. He could have used words that I understand, wouldn't have an idea what he was talking about. Probably you too. But look what he says in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. I didn't come in fancy speech using $10 million words. Well, what profit would that be for you? What benefit would that be for you? That is my care and concern. That I don't belittle the old, but that I don't talk above the heads of the young ones. Or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The gospel of God, the testimony of God. He didn't use fancy words and much wisdom. Simply tell them, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house, and thou shalt be saved. What $10 million words is there in that? Pretty simple, huh? For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That was His message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sin. That's to be our message. As we go out into the world, Jesus Christ crucified. Amazing, huh? And even that, just preaching Jesus Christ crucified for sinners, takes the power of God to give understanding of what that means. Paul wanted the Ephesian church to know that this was not his learning, was not his knowledge. But this knowledge came to him by the power of God. You see, all his much learning and all his schooling and sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, and he got up from the feet of Gamaliel and went out an unsaved man. And it wasn't till the power of God got a hold of him did he understand Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, we got to quit there tonight.
Brother, read Colossians 1:27.
Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's the mystery, right?
Yep. It's not of human understanding. It takes God, the power of God. And He makes it known then to whom He wills. Well, we got a lot more to say about the mystery and what all the mystery is. It's not just the gospel. The gospel is mystery. Without the revelation of God, it's a mystery, no doubt. There was more to it. As he had used the comparison of Jews and Gentiles, and there's a mystery that he's talking about here too, as well as the gospel. All right, shall we be dismissed in a word of prayer, and then we'll go into our business meeting. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time spent in your word tonight. We thank you for the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But yes, Lord, I have experienced, know that for almost 23 years, it was there, it was published, it was proclaimed to me. But it wasn't until the power of your Spirit revealed it unto me did I understand. Oh, we thank you for your working, your mighty working in our lives, and your continued mighty working in our lives. We do pray, dear Heavenly Father, for those that are here tonight without Christ. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your mighty working to reveal the truth of the gospel to them, that they might see and that they might understand according to thy will, dear Father. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.